Okay.
Basically, when somebody first arrives, they put in their initial. Application. Generally, this is always turned down. There's very few cases where people are given refugee status on their initial application. That's just, it's not done by legal professionals, it's done by general civil servant type people, read those applications and do the interviews. Then after that, they go to what's called ORAC, which is the Refugee Appeals Commission. The Refugee Appeals Commission, if they've been turned down from their initial application, they go here to try and get it appealed. If that doesn't work, they then go to the Refugee Appeals Tribunal. However, there's huge issues with the Refugee Appeals Tribunal. Last year, two of the members of it resigned, and the Law Society came very vehemently out against it because it's not in any way transparent. There's already, we know for a fact, it's been published that there's one member of the Appeals Tribunal who has never given refugee status to absolutely anybody that's ever come before him. And with every other sort of law in Ireland, you can refer to past cases and use them as an example. If there's a case that's very similar to yours, you can say, well, this was the outcome in this, therefore you have to preside over the same type judgment on this one. Whereas with the Refugee Appeals Tribunal, the lawyers have absolutely no access to any of the previous decisions and any of the previous cases. So there's absolutely no lack of coherency within the asylum system. Some people are given refugee status for one thing. For example, some women are given it for FGM. We do know that there's been a tiny number of women that have been given it on the grounds of FGM, but for the majority who go through there isn't, and their lawyers can't use the past case examples. And then after that, basically the only thing that's open to somebody if they get turned down at the Refugee Appeals Tribunal, the only thing that's open to them is what's called judicial leave, or a judicial review. Okay, you do that.
Do you know what stage they're at?
The men are at different stages, but a lot of them are only at the initial interview stage, the first stage of it. One of them has been refused. Most of them have been given refusals from the first one.
Mm. And that would be the first stage?
Yeah.
Also applying on humanitarian. So that's later on, isn't it, the humanitarian leave?
Those are three options. First is repatriation order, which basically means you agree to go back, which is deportation. Then after that, there's deportation, which which is basically the same thing as repatriation order. Then there's also leave to remain on humanitarian grounds.
A lot of people are on that stage. When I was making the list for the barrister, a lot of the folks were on that stage.
The problem is very few people actually get through that. Then, tiny percent. And then there's judicial review. Now, because asylum seekers are on €19 a week, they can't afford, because €3,000 or €5,000 to take judicial review, which is private solicitor and refugee legal service never take on judicial reviews, even though they say they can, but they never ever do. So that's the other problem. But basically, 95% of applications are refused initially. I think 3,500 people applied for asylum last year. Only 12 were given full refugee status, which is absolutely ridiculous. You know, so I don't know. So basically, after the leave to the appeal, some of the guys I say will likely probably get deportation orders, even though they can't actually physically deport them to Afghanistan because they can't charter a plane. And also you have the fast tracking countries. They have 5, which I think is Nigeria, Bulgaria, Croatia, Romania, and South Africa. Yeah, they're fast tracking people now. So before, we're Nigerians, it could take 1 year. Some people have been here 8 years.
Yeah.
But we're still waiting. One guy we know, Tunde, he was here 8 years and he got a deportation order. You know, which is ridiculous. But anyway, so some of these guys have been made between 1 and 5 years. But the fast-tracking countries now, what they're doing is they're doing the applications within 3 months and then they're getting deportation orders. So the GNIB are making loads of mistakes. They're giving people deportation orders, and it's not even for the actual deportation because the cases haven't been reviewed yet. There's been loads of mistakes. The Garda National Immigration Bureau have known to forge people. Signatures. And there's also another thing relating to Nigeria, and when they go into the when a person has to sign on for deportation, it's maybe 1 or 2 weeks before, and what they do is they ask them, do you want to sign a form to see the embassy. Now, that could be any embassy, you know. Some people sign it. But what that is you're agreeing to go back for your travel documents. So people don't know, you know, what they're signing. So that means they can't apply for judicial review. You know, they're basically just sent back and they can't get a deportation or an injunction against their deportation order. So it's completely flawed, you know. And it's like if a person goes to for deportation into the Garda National Immigration Bureau, they don't know they're going to be deported. So that means they have no money, no clothes, no belongings. So they're put on a plane to Nigeria, which is like where most deportations go to. And then there they're sent to prison, and unless you have money to bribe yourself out, basically, you know, you're there. You just stay there. But yeah, just this whole thing is really, it's completely corrupt and racist. So.
And if the government and get the, if the guards are sent in and they grab the men and they deport them, where can they send them? Like, is there any institutions over in Afghanistan that can say that they can safely look after them, or will they be imprisoned, or do they just land into chaos? Okay. I'll talk later.